All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll just remind you guys that, as always, attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, 30-year veteran in the practice of law, longtime conservative, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here momentarily. All right, let me just say this. There is a fight ongoing. There is. There's a fight ongoing for our kids, and it is a fight worth having. It's not just a fight for our kids' innocence, by the way. It's a fight for their very lives. It's a fight for their hearts and their minds. It's a fight for the right to love our kids, raise our kids, educate our kids, and yes, I'm saying it's a fight worth having. You watch the news. In the midst of all the stories about foreign policy and wars and rumors of wars and economic trends and judicial action and who's running for what office, in the middle of all that, you also will find that there are near daily stories that deal with what I would call cultural issues. Cultural issues, oftentimes an attempt by the left to transform the values, the mores, the thoughts, the likes and dislikes of our very culture. And I would hazard a guess that over half those stories deal with how the left seeks to grab the hearts and minds of our children and supplant the rights of parents to raise their own children. It's really, really a messed up situation. Yesterday, the horrible story broke about yet another tragic loss of innocent lives as dozens of young children were praying in a morning mass at a Catholic school in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A deranged man, no other word best describes him, a deranged man drove to the school and with fully cognizant premeditation, he ended the lives of two young children and wounded 14 others as well as three adults before taking his own life. It was a murder-suicide. It was pre-planned. And it was something that, if you get down to it, was entirely predictable. He had been on a glide path to catastrophe for a long time. We have an entire community of people in Minnesota right now who are picking up the pieces and trying to find a silver lining somewhere, but their lives have now been forever altered because of an entirely predictable moment. So may the Lord God bless those families and that parish and that school and that city. But let me dive right now, though, into the truly uncomfortable part that many in the media landscape don't want to touch. But I'm going there. I'll go there right now. I'll go there big. The fact is, this was a predictable event, despite the fact that the Minneapolis police chief announced that they still don't have a motive. We don't know what the killer did or why he did it. Well, yes, we do, because he told us. There was a confession tape. There was a video. There were two journals. There were rambling, incoherent writings that indicate that even the shooter admitted that he knew himself that he was mentally unstable. And it had been brewing for some time and even ignored. The man was in his 20s living in his mom's house, collecting guns and writing manifestos and decorating his firearms with slogans like "Kill the Jews" and "Where's your God now?" Anyone who had a moment of care and concern would have seen this coming. Where were his family members? Well, I guess they were too busy affirming his mental illness and telling him that even though he's a biological male, that he could be a woman if he really wanted to. Documents on file as a matter of public record even show that his mom assisted him with his name change to be a female, so they say, when he was 17. Because yes, the mass murderer of innocent children at the Annunciation Catholic Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota yesterday was yet another radicalized transgender. I'll be the first to say that I know that not every mass murderer is a transgender and that not every transgender is a killer. But I do know that every transgender is mentally ill. And that's a fact. I also see an awful pattern that the left does not even want to address. Think about it. You ready? The Nashville Covenant Christian shooter was a transgender. The Lakewood Church shooter was a transgender. The Colorado Springs shooter was a transgender. The Denver shooter was a transgender. The Colorado Springs shooter identified as non-binary. The Aberdeen shooter was transgender. The Iowa High School shooter was transgender. Radical gender ideology is creating radicalized, mentally unstable people by claiming to help them by, quote, affirming their mental illness. Think about that. There is no other mental illness that we are told to help people wallow in. None. If somebody was depressed or had anxiety or an eating disorder, if they were diagnosed bipolar or had schizophrenia, we would want them to get better, to seek help, to find counseling, maybe even medication, because we would not want them to believe that there was no hope. We would not want them to remain in that difficult moment any longer than they had to. Oh, but not transgenderism. No. Which, by the way, is really called gender dysphoria. The left tells us that the healing comes from joining them in the delusion that biological sex or gender is a fluid construct and that it can be changed daily on a whim. One day you're a dude, the next day you're a chick. And that is simply, demonstrably, and scientifically false. It's a lie. It's a lie that is not just cultural, held together by certain members of our society. It's a lie that is too often these days even promoted by government. Our government. I mean, think about what I just said. The Biden administration's finally gone, but they were promoting it like nobody's business. But still to this day, we have like the government of the state of Maine. The government of the state of Maine has been belligerently clinging to their government-sanctioned belief that gender is fluid and there's nothing wrong with men competing against women as long as they declare themselves to be a woman. It's as simple as that. How do you feel today, Jim? Well, I feel like my feminine side's more dominant today. Well, that's fine, Jim. You go march your 6'3", 300-pound self over there to the girls' side of the gym and just have at it. I mean, come on. Maine has become the poster child for government-sponsored transgender ideology in schools and sports. The leftist leaders in Maine gave up their souls to the little g gods of gender ideology because the agenda was more important than the kids. A survey was done by the American Parents Coalition. It found that of about 600 registered Maine voters, 63% of them said that school sports participation should be based on biological sex. 66% agreed that it, quote, it is only fair to restrict women's sports to biological women. The poll also found that 60% of residents in Maine would support a ballot measure limiting that participation in women's and girls' sports to purely biological females. And that included, by the way, 64% of independents and 66% of parents who had kids under the age of 18. But y'all, I got to tell you, just being mad about it is really not enough. Being mad after the fact, too, is especially not enough. You got to say something at the time. You got to speak out in the moment. If the family is going to mollycoddle and so-called affirm the person, and then that inflicts something upon your family and your loved ones and your friends and your realm, then you have a right to say something about it. One of the most disturbing accounts I read of the recent Maine issue, state of Maine, is a track meet where a dude just wore out the female competition. And there were no parents crying foul, we're told. There was a sports photographer there who said that there were some folks who were cheering the dude on, but he didn't hear anybody calling out the issue. Think about that. All the parents of all the girls who were competing and nobody cried foul? Really? But the reasons why people stay silent is too often because they can't stand the idea of someone daring to call them mean or homophobic. Look, it's not mean to stand up for your daughter. It's not homophobic to say dudes can't be chicks. It's not wrong to say that naked men don't belong in the girls' locker room. It's just not. But that same sports photographer, he said he got so much backlash for posting pictures of the boy who thinks he's a girl competing in girls' track events, he took them all down. In his words, he said, I didn't know what to do. And somebody finally said, well, if you just remove the photo, the debate will go away. So I removed the photo and the debate went away. No, sir, it really didn't. You went away. You quit. You left the ring before the bell rang. You walked off the field of battle before the fight was over. But that's exactly what the radical left wants. They want sheeple. Sheeple who will just sit there quietly and say nothing when they come for your kids. In the epic novel Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, the author talked about what happens when people decide to go ahead and meekly accept a lie as their new normal. She said, here's a quote, you ready? She said, quote, people think that a liar gains a victory over his victim, but what I've learned is that a lie is an act of self-abdication, because one surrenders one's reality to the person to whom one lies, making that person one's master, condemning oneself from then on to faking the sort of reality that person's view then requires to be faked. Basically, what I read in that quote is that when we choose to live the lie, we have surrendered our own will. When we are told there's a new normal, and we just need to get on board with it, even when we know it's wrong or harmful or flies in the face of our own faith or reason, then we have just lied to all those around us and surrendered our will to the new normal. And we have then let the new normal become the master. And there's been a lot of that going on. There's a beating down of standards and mores and values into what is being foisted on us as a new normal that we had just better find our happy place with, I guess. Well, I say no. We should not. We cannot. We cannot become so benign in our response to all of it that we become mere sheeple, just preyed upon by the wolves. So yeah, this is becoming an everyday event. Children are being hurt by leftist agendas, and it is a sickness, by the way. It absolutely is a sickness. We're in an age right now where right is called wrong and wrong is called right, and the left knows that if we raise up our children the way they should go, that when they get old, they will not depart from it. So They have taken the tack that they should have an unequal access to what it means to raise our children. Our children. And we need to stop shrugging our shoulders. We need to stop laughing this off as some kind of weird fad, because it's not. We need to tell our children we have their back. If you show up at your daughter's baseball game, or basketball game, excuse me, and there's a dude on the other team, you should make yourself known and insist that he be removed from not only the court, but the locker room as well. That's not hard. That's just right. And that fight's ongoing right now. It is real. It is every day. Make no mistake when I say it's a fight. It's a fight worth having, though. To save a generation of young hearts and minds that we love. It's indeed a fight worth having. Because the only affirming care that a kid needs is to be told that they are the best kid the way God made them, and then walk them through any pain they're going through into good mental health again. Never, ever, ever affirm the lie. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.